Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Friday feeling when Jim Campbell, Luke Moore and Pete Donaldson come your way. I do, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Let us go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show. The chaps are here, aren't you, chaps?
We are. You look even more pleased with yourself than usual. Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, listeners, that is saying something.
He's the cat that's got the Friday Bet365 show.
The cat that's got all the cream.
Mm. You look like a man so smug that only a man with a dog called Winston can.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, you'll see him.
He's big news this week, isn't he?
Even he's got a copy of the Football Ramble book.
I can't believe that this is the first time, to my knowledge, that Winston the dog, the Speller family dog, has been brought up on this show.
Yeah. I had no idea he existed until I saw him reading the Football Ramble book, which is available from all great dog bookstores.
We keep him a secret because he's got reading skills. He's like one of the X-Men mutants. Keep him of a secret. People can't know that. But then he doesn't want to hide his light under a bushel anymore.
If he can't speak, you know, how's he ever going to let anyone know that he can read?
Yeah. Oh. He wears his knowledge lightly.
Yeah.
Mm. His smell of dog food.
He just wants to do it for the love of the learning.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to share. But he pops into prominence this week because you shared a picture of him reading our book and it was very, very cute. So we shared it on social media to leverage them contacts. We thought, this is sweet. This is cute. This is exactly the sort of thing people will like.
Let's exploit that and them.
He said he liked my chapters best.
Yeah. Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Also licking his testicles.
He said they were rough. That's not the same thing.
Yeah. Indeed, yeah. Well, it's all a part of my grand plan to create a television programme called Dogs Reading Books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, Channel 5 will make it.
But they won't make us.
No, they won't.
But we haven't
tried. Pete will get the voiceover gig, though. In a way, we'll be present.
Well, for a bit.
For one run.
Yeah.
In Das Premier League, Arsenal are hosting Stoke, Jim.
Yes, we are.
Mm. Navam, let's talk about the Premier League in a minute. Arsenal topped their ruddy group.
They did.
For the first time.
Big thanks to Edinson Cavani, who, despite scoring against us in both draws and against Ludogorets, missed enough chances to basically hand that to us on a plate. Quite incredible,
Edinson
really.
Edinson Cavani is, and I know I risk incurring the wrath of many a football expert.
But a spent force.
To me, Cavani is the guy who'll always let you down at the big moments. Always. He always lets you down.
It's a funny one with Cavani. And by the way, it's the first time in 5 years. I didn't finish that sentence before anybody tweets me that Arsenal topped their group. But Cavani's a funny one because he's clearly a good player.
Yeah, I think he's a good player.
I mean, you look at him, he's a fantastic player. He's got so many great attributes and so on. But you're right. He does miss some big chances.
I don't remember him being like that when he was in Italy. But the thing is that
perfectly suits my rationale, I think, because at Napoli, it's a big club, but you're not
scrutinised in the
same way. Outside of that area of southern Italy, you're not really expected to compete at very, very highest level every single week. Mm. Whereas at PSG, with their ambitions and their attention, he's always going to be in the public eye, always be in the spotlight, and he always seems to miss really important chances when it matters. And that is admittedly based on my experience of watching him, not as much as many people listening to this show will have done, but that is my impression of him. I think it's a fairly accurate
But he
one.
Is a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player, of course he is.
Yeah. Screw him and them.
Yeah.
Because they finished second.
Well, he's no Lucas Perez, is he?
No, apparently not on the night. It was a very lovely sort of poached hat-trick. Mm. Maybe he's that fox in the box we've been looking for years.
Well, since Francis Jeffers.
Almost
certainly play ahead of Alexis Sanchez at Stoke. Against Stoke.
But it is good to have those options, isn't it? Because Sanchez and Perez played together, obviously both play very well. So he's been unlucky, he's been injured, Perez. So he's been a little bit of a forgotten man. But his stats are really good. I think it's five Five starts and three substitutes appearance, and I think it's five goals and three assists. So, I mean, those numbers are great if, for an impact sub, and, yeah, it'd be good to see more of him. But Barcelona are lucky, aren't they? Mm. Missing out on drawing us.
Very lucky.
Who could Arsenal get?
We could get Bayern, or we can get Real Madrid as well.
Well, one of those is definitely going to happen.
Well, quite. Or maybe both of them. A sort of hybrid of both.
Yeah, it's not terrible. You're playing Real Madrid in the first leg.
Yep.
And you're playing
away.
Both
legs away.
It's not a terrible time to be playing Bayern Munich, is it?
That's what I would argue. If Arsenal played Bayern Munich, they would have a chance if they can get over the, I suppose, the fear, if for want of a better word, perhaps that kind of monkey on their back that is Bayern Munich, although they are a monkey on everybody's back in Germany.
Isn't that five in German?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, good. Right. Get past the back five.
It's Cockney German slang. But I like the fact that Lucas Perez, he's only the sixth Arsenal player to score a hat-trick in the Champions League. Henri, Welbeck, Giroud, Ozil and Nicholas Bentner.
Nicholas Bentner's hat-trick was in 2010 and it was in a 5-0 thrashing of Porto to send us into the quarterfinals. It's a different world now, isn't it? How was that ever possible?
Yeah, we now live it.
Paul's now thrashing Leicester 5-0. Yeah.
Yeah. If you read all the sort of popular culture journalists and the political commentators and stuff, we now live in a post-truth society, which is weird, because that sort of thing you've just said there about Bentner is the sort of thing exactly you would hear in a post-truth society.
Well,
it did happen.
You argue that we live in a post-Nicholas Bentner Champions League hat-trick world now.
Yeah, we do.
We have been for some time.
But he scored a screamer against Newcastle last week, lest we forget. The Ozil hat-trick was this season, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was
a couple of weeks
against
Ludogorets.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Going to back to the Stoke game, a fact about this fixture, which I particularly like, is that although Stoke had a bit of a reputation a few years ago, have really given Arsenal a hard time at the Britannia. I remember that happened a few times, didn't it? I think they did with Man City as well a couple of times. They've lost their last 14 games in all competitions in a row away to Arsenal.
Yeah, they've never actually beaten us at the Emirates.
No.
And I think the last time they beat us in the league was
like 82
or something like that.
I think Lee Chapman scored the only goal.
Oh, wow.
That dates it.
But it kind of gets the football writers excited about, the rough and ready Stoke, classic Stoke side. Yeah. They always do over Arsenal because Arsenal like tippy-tappy nonsense football.
Yeah. Not true.
But it's not actually true.
It's true. At a specific venue that isn't this one. It's just very weird, that, isn't it? It's strange that grudge matches like
it's
that.
It's very much like that.
That one-sided, sort of, depending on the venue.
It's not like that reputation you've got, Pete, as being a sort of a well-dressed sort of man about town in Soho.
Yeah.
It's a myth.
It's a myth.
He's dressed quite smartly today, and if you go to our YouTube channel, you'll be able to see the video.
If that's not an appointment to view, I don't know what it is.
Check me out. Drink me in, guys.
Oh, what reasons have you mentioned the YouTuber? What reasons have you got for people to watch your video? Pete looked quite smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it a bash.
Drink him in and get drunk. Well, David Seaman sort of echoed some of your thoughts there.
I don't like the way you said drink it in and then you said Seaman immediately. Yeah. I don't. If you could just distance the words bit better, that'd be great.
I personally got absolutely no problem with that.
I can't and won't change. David Seaman said it could be Arsenal season in Europe this time, but he'd take the Premier League first just to shut everyone up.
All right, I mean, that would be lovely.
Like Chippy.
Shut up.
Chippy Seaman, who has been chipped in the past.
Yeah. Chippy Seaman?
Yeah. Chippy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the way to be fair to us, Marcus, the way you brought that into the running order, it's like he just said that out of nowhere. He just called someone up and just went, right, this is me.
And we'll have this. Yeah. And we'll have that.
That often happens with pundits, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I went to an event when John Barnes was there, and we were everyone was asking him various questions. And he clearly had some weird agenda that he wanted to ram home the point, even though nobody was asking him about it, that Theo Walcott was a winger and not a striker.
Oh, yeah.
First point of order. Nobody asked for this.
Yeah, how you doing, John? You come down from, up north today, have you? Well, yeah, I have, but let me just get straight on.
In the same way that Theo Walcott drifts.
John, we just want to talk about Lucozade.
Yeah. Did you really kick that can into the bin and the Lucozade advert? Oh, going back a while there. Yeah. Sorry to distance myself from some of the younger listeners. But going back to Arsenal, I mean, they could draw Bayern or Real Madrid, of course.
Yeah.
When I was watching Real Madrid versus Dortmund, I thought to myself, you're better off drawing Madrid. Dortmund were fantastic.
Well, they've been fantastic in the league, but they're sixth in the Bundesliga. Sorry, it's fantastic in the Champions League, but they're sixth in the Bundesliga.
Well, you're not going to play them in the Bundesliga, are you?
No, true, but, you know, I still think Real Madrid will be a big ask.
Really? Well, let me.
It's not up to you, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not. It's up to Satan, apparently, based on our previous draws.
Dortmund, they finished top, of course. 21 goals in 6 Champions League matches was the most that any team has scored in the group stage in Champions League history.
Wow.
Some teams had scored 20. Manchester United in 98-99, Real Madrid. A couple of years ago, Barcelona this season, and a few years ago as well. Whereas Dynamo Zagreb have been one of the worst teams in Champions League history.
They largely because of Dortmund, right? Was it Zagreb that Dortmund thrashed?
No,
twice?
It was Legia Warsaw.
Yeah.
8-4.
Yeah, well,
and 6-0.
I just said Dynamo Zagreb, they didn't score any goals.
Oh, right, sorry.
Yeah, no, don't worry. They conceded 15.
To be fair, there's a lot of teams that haven't scored any goals in the Champions League this season. Portsmouth. Newcastle.
That's silly. That's very silly.
Rangers.
They only had 8 shots at Hearts. They only had 8 shots on target from 6 matches. Maccabi Haifa also failed to score in the Champions League in 2009-10.
I think we missed this last time out, but that's just reminded me. Someone was saying to me today that the Spurs-Swansea game, Spurs won 5-0, that was apparently statistically the most one-sided game in Premier League history.
Swansea
didn't have a single corner. I don't think they had a single shot.
Well, not the 9-1 or the 9-0.
Yeah, the Man United one.
I was thinking of Wigan.
Well, if you want to look at it that way, then it's just a score.
And I will.
But, I mean, statistically, with all the things that went on.
Would you rather lose 9-0 or 5-0?
Well, Wigan scored a goal.
No, I'm just saying, would you rather lose 125-0 or 5-0?
Luke, don't make the stats.
No.
Luke, don't make the stats. Get that on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Luke, don't make the stats. He enjoys them.
Yeah. The next book.
Sometimes. on the back in brackets, sometimes.
Yeah.
Wigan scored in that game. So that's what I'm saying. It's not as one-sided.
Well done, then.
Exactly.
Well done,
anyway,
guys.
I'm actually also going to wrestle this back to some semblance of normality by saying that Stoke have lost their last 14 games against Arsenal away from home. They're 8-1 with Bet365 to break that duck and beat the Gunners on their own patch. £10 on that will return you 90, including your stake.
I think there is a danger of complacency there because the record at home is so good, and obviously Arsenal are in a good run.
And Stoke are in fairly good form, by the way. They've won 5 of their last 7.
Two, I think, as well. So they'll be confident going into it. We might have Hexabarian back, which would be great because Carl Jenkinson looks absolutely shorn of any confidence he picked up at West Ham while he was on loan there. And Debuchy's injured again. So I don't think Jenkinson is injured, but Gabriel started at right back ahead of him against Basel.
Stoke have got a few injuries. Stoke have got, I think, Ryan Shawcross is out, and Jeff Cameron, I think, is out, and obviously Afellay is not going to be playing. So they've got a few injuries themselves, but they're in decent enough form, and they're not doing too badly. But to use your words earlier, Jim, it's a big ask for them to get a win at Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal have been scoring a lot of goals, playing very well. They went through a period of looking a little bit listless, but now they've sort of found their rhythm again. But that's the danger, isn't it? It's the complacency. You've got to be consistent.
Well, they're only 3 points. Oh, they're 3 points off the top, or something like that. They're second place, aren't they? Just behind Chelsea.
They're very close.
Because they walloped earlier in the season, Arsenal. Yeah. So they're in a fairly good nick.
Looking good now. Don't trust it.
Speaking of consistency, Leicester City.
Oh my!
Versus Manchester City.
Oh my! Wow. What's happening? What's happening? I'm just woken up. What's happening?
Yeah.
Before we get down to that, the big question for me is: will Pep Guardiola be wearing the same trainers he did on the touchline against Celtic?
I don't like him.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
No, I didn't see him. What were they like?
They were just sort of like black Converse. They weren't anything spectacular.
But did he look like the guy out of Lit?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It's what he's paired them with. For me, he looked a bit too much like an uncle trying too hard to be cool because he's been asked to pick his sister's kids up from school. You know, and as someone who's an uncle myself, you can't try
that. That's a weird anecdote. Situation.
Analogy.
Yeah.
I'll help you out with that, Pete. It's fine. Analogy is the way.
Sorry.
I think it looked like
terrible pedant.
in the current climate as well. To me, it felt a bit like the last day of school when nothing really matters. Because then you, Man City, they were going to finish
the
second.
The teachers come in.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we'll do.
Was he disrespecting Brendan Rodgers?
A little bit.
Yeah.
In a way, everything he does is.
Okay.
But I would like to say that coming up later on the show, some results of a couple of Twitter polls we've done this week. Maybe what I'll do is I'll do the Guardiola shoes, yay or nay, on Twitter for a poll next time out.
Yeah, okay.
So we can get a definitive answer.
I like that. That was a bit radio. Cool. Coming up on the show. Yeah. Coming on today's podcast.
Yeah.
Leicester are at home to Manchester City. They were pumped by Porto 5-0.
They really were.
Is it the worst result for an English team in the Champions League history?
Yeah, it is.
Correct. Well, and European Cup and Champions League history.
Taking you way back.
Way back.
How did Porto also not score a goal in about 2 hours of football?
Well, well
I think they've been struggling domestically. I may be wrong. I think I heard that in the commentary. But
you wait all day for one.
Blow that one back to Leicester.
And then Leicester come along.
Yeah. So everyone was, look, at this point last year, sort of laughing at Chelsea and saying that they had the worst title defence in history, right? And after 14 games, which is what we're on now, this time last season, Chelsea had 15 points. And this season, Leicester have got 13. Right. So, like, I think we're, you know, because everyone's assumed they're not going to repeat the heroics of last season, we're sort of overlooking quite how dramatically poor that is as a title defence. No one's even considering it a title defence. That's what's weird about it.
For Leicester at the moment, it's less a competitive season, more a sort of thank you tour, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah.
It's all the places we went last season.
Just to thank you very much. Yeah.
It's like the anniversary games. The Olympic Stadium.
It is. The Leicester Globetrotters, as you say, Pete.
We're going to take it to Europe. It's been successful domestically.
I think what you're saying there, Jim, about comparing it to Chelsea's season, and you rightly say that shows how bad it is. It also reminds me how bad Chelsea were. Because I thought you were going to say, oh, you know, they had 7 or 8 points more than Leicester. They only had 2 points more. Yeah. Blimmin' heck.
Chelsea have better players as well.
Yeah. Is N'Golo Kante that good, though?
Is he that good that he makes that much of a difference? I think Ranieri, I think what they've got at Leicester is season on, season off. That's what they're going to do.
Well, like a fat like Glasenberg, you got to take a year off.
Maybe.
Fallow.
Let the ground recover.
Yeah, exactly.
They pretend to be a farmer again.
Yeah, exactly.
Idiot.
Peter!
What?
Stop talking off your petty political point scoring. Thank you very much.
What's wrong with Eavis?
I just think Eavis has got to stop pretending that he's a farmer.
Yeah.
Tarmac it.
What? He's a man in his 80s.
What are you talking about? For Pete's pointless political palaver podcast.
How is it political?
Marcus, do you want me to bring it up to speed? Pete is referencing Michael Eavis, the founder and erstwhile until his daughter took over, runner of Glastonbury.
I'm very aware of all that.
And his pompous nature.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's pompous. I'm just saying he's got to stop pretending it's a nightmare to get off that site when it rains.
Agree.
Well, tarmac
it. Don't control the weather, does he?
No, but he could make it easier for people to get off.
Pete, I agree, and I've had some very sternly worded thoughts about that festival, but I would not resort to assaulting the man personally.
Yeah,
that's the difference between me and you.
Tarmac it.
To be perfectly frank.
If he's going to assault someone,
I'm going to tarmac.
Pete, you cannot tarmac a pensioner. How many more times?
Oh, I'd love to see a tarmac pensioner.
Come on. See, that's what happens. Well, the thing is, you say why, you encourage it, and then before we know it, we're committing group assault on an 80-year-old man.
Pete's now blaming Marcus for this.
This will be in the YouTube ideas spreadsheet tomorrow. Tarmac's an 80-year-old man.
They smell lovely. I love the smell of tarmac.
I do as well, actually.
Yeah. Is the smell of tarmac as nice when it's coupled with burning pensioner flesh?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what we're going to find out.
I put the idea in there because I can see you want to know.
If it's just Top Gear, we'll be doing this tomorrow.
Is Pete having these thoughts, right? Is it really my fault that I asked him why? I mean, in a court of law, is the guy going to say, right, well, you get 3 months as well because you did ask the question why?
No, but I think you should hold yourself up to a higher standard. I'm not asking him.
You're the conditions. You're supplying the catalyst. You're the oxygen.
I said why. I didn't say why. No.
I'm the mold spores in my bathroom.
All I'm saying is Pete should not be encouraged on any level to go out and purchase a steamroller.
There would be no steamroller. It would just be a light dusting.
So now you're not even doing the job properly.
A light dusting.
Now you're cutting corners.
You're tarmac.
That's like a half-assed tarring and feathering.
I think this is the quickest vault fast we've ever had.
to be fair, the other day it was Bob Bradley to the Elgin Marbles in 20 seconds.
Right, okay.
It's up there. It's up there.
All I'm saying is, the way you were having a go at the young players breaking through in their careers at top clubs like Liverpool, Real Madrid, and all the rest of it.
Elderly people!
You like to spoil things. You taking a steamroller to the Glastonbury site, the flipping musical heritage site, is classic Pete Donaldson.
Yeah. I just think drainage is a problem.
Yeah.
And when I used to go, it was 70 quid for a ticket.
Marcus, Kelechi in that time is 7-2 with Bet365 to score any time against Leicester City for Man City. £10 returns, £45 including the stake. I want to talk about Man City not being very good defensively. Well, just quickly.
Okay.
I think they're a bit overrated.
Well, you mentioned Iheanacho. He said he's going to step up in place of Aguero.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, he does, doesn't he?
He does, but you would have thought Manchester City would have signed a better, or at least a more...
An understudy, yeah.
A more prodigious understudy, perhaps.
Didn't Guardiola say, though, that once he'd seen Iheanacho, that was why he didn't?
So is that right?
Striker.
Obviously, Bonnie moved on and he was...
Minted teams have so little depth, considering how much money and what great facilities they have, effectively.
But do you not think it's because people are signed for huge money and they come in and then they're told, you're going to play... I don't know, you're going to start eight games
no,
in the
means,
league.
He means Newcastle. Once Paul Dummett gets a ban, yeah. Who have we got?
We'll be in big trouble.
Yeah, but they've been overturned.
Just make a scarecrow.
They've been overturned.
They've been overturned. Yeah. The Newcastle bans it. Free the Newcastle 2 has been a successful campaign.
Have that.
You're going to be back in the side.
Admittedly, I ashamedly brought it back to City's defensive problems because I found these two stats that I found really interesting.
Far away.
One is that City are 16th in the league for aerial duels won, which I think is actually quite poor.
Yeah.
And they're also 14th in the league for interceptions per game.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I know that Guardiola's defensive thing he likes to keep the ball to stop the other team scoring, essentially. But you think they'd be much better at that, wouldn't you?
Maybe if you're keeping the ball, you don't have to make so many interceptions.
Yeah, to be fair, they have got the highest possession. So that is a factor. But stuff like aerial duels won, you need to be better than that, don't you? If you're going to be a top side, you need to be better.
I guess ideally, they stifle the game so much they're not needing to make those
kind of interceptions and
clearances in an ideal world.
But aerial duels won, Peter.
They're not getting, are they?
Yeah, but aerial duels won, Jim, also means just any battled header. So it could be an attacking header as well.
Yeah, but they do play it on the deck a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, I just
to their detriment.
Strange thing that came out in the press this week is also to cut in it, mate. Was that it was something like every time Sergio Aguero scores 15 goals, they have to give Atletico Madrid something like $200,000.
Sorry, well, nice and learning.
It's not actually that bad, though, is it?
Isn't it?
15 goals, $200,000 for the money Man City you've got.
You'd think once you've bought a player.
I suppose so. You should think it's done, yeah. You think it's
but
done.
All these little bits and pieces always happen, don't they?
Yeah, but you
they get
hear
a certain
them.
Amount of. Yeah, I know, but all the.
One of the worst ones I've heard recently, and I don't know the exact detail, but it's something like if Anthony Martial scores another goal for Man United, they owe Monaco an enormous amount of cash. Well into the millions.
They have, but that's kind of limited a lot of footballers. It won't happen in this case, obviously, because it's Anthony Martial and obviously it's Manchester United, but.
Happened with Portsmouth, I think.
Yeah,
with
was
David
it Luala?
Nugent, I think. Or Luala, one of the players, one of the forwards. Mm. They would, each wouldn't be picked. They just would not
I think
pick
Gutierrez
him.
At Newcastle had a similar situation before he left.
Bentley at Spurs.
Possibly.
That's
maybe appearances.
You wonder whether those types of deals are a real conflict of interest, really. I mean, you shouldn't really be able to do those, I don't think.
No.
But then they do sometimes put those in to motivate various parties.
Oh, I can understand if you want to do something like, look, he's a young player, he's 18, and he gets this contract and this transfer fee or whatever, and if he gets called up to the full England squad, maybe. Something like that, something that's unrelated to
so
the club.
Caps can be included.
I don't think that's as bad, is it?
But isn't that aren't all these agreements should be down to like arbitration and stuff? If you're genuinely going out and poaching players, you've got a problem. But I don't think this should be. You shouldn't be handing out cash 5 years down the line.
What about cash?
To a feeder club
cash per red card.
Yeah,
maybe.
If he turns out, maybe
somebody would have made some money last weekend.
True enough. Maybe if the player doesn't go on to get international caps. So he's a bit rubbish.
This should be like a money back or something. Or?
Yeah, maybe that was. Yeah, I don't know.
A buyback option, yeah. There was an American football team a number of years ago, I forget who they were, who were found, it was a bit of a scandal in the US, who were found to be offering bonuses to their players for injuring other players.
No way.
So if that's not in it.
Big hit, obviously, lots to do with NFLs, do with big hits and sort of incapacitating quarterbacks, stuff like that. If you actually injured the player,
that's outrageous.
You'd get a bonus, yeah. I forget who it was.
That is terrible.
And I'm not conveniently forgetting so we don't get busted for libel or whatever, but it was reported and shown, and I genuinely can't remember the team.
Our lawyers are enjoying your memory right now.
They always are.
Manchester City won their first 10 matches of the season in all comps and have only won 4 in 14 since.
They're not in good form.
That really is.
You still get the impression they could smash Leicester, though, because they just look so sort of all at sea. Yeah. In the league. Like, Ranieri is starting to look like he has absolutely no control over Leicester at all. Like, he's a character in a story, almost like he's in Westworld. Like, in the same way it seemed like he couldn't influence last season because it was all so magical and brilliant and it was this wonderful thing that was just happening. This time it seems like he can't do anything to address the slump. He looks really stressed by it. But I wonder if he's sort of spoken so much about how they can't expect to match last season. It's had an adverse effect and allowed them all to just go, whatever, we'll concentrate on the Champions League.
The only thing I would realistically, anything he does, he's still going to be a legend of the club.
Of course.
But
rightly so.
It would be a real bittersweet thing if he were to get him relegated. Yeah. They need to avoid relegation for its own sake. For his legacy, it's very important.
Would that not be an amazing story, though, if they went down?
It would be great for us.
What an amazing story.
Well, it would be a crying shame for Ranieri if, as you say, Luke, but if he was to get sacked.
Yeah,
that would be a great shame. If he got to the end of the season and maybe they just survived relegation or something, and he had a chat with the board and said, you know what,
England have been knocking.
Yeah.
Fancy it.
Yeah, right, whatever. Yeah. I'm off to China, yeah. Where all the greats go. Yeah. Managerial greats. And left the club mutually, then OK. But if he was to get sacked, or Leicester were to get relegated, which may prompt a sacking, I don't know, that would be such a shame, because, for crying out loud, you know, but what he's done there is...
I mean, this is assuming that they're sort of concentrating on Europe, not worrying so much about the league theory, has some legs to it. The Champions League doesn't start up again until, is it, February?
Yes.
So they've got a run where they can just concentrate now, try and sort their league form out, go up the table and... just get rid of some of the jitters they clearly have. They look nervy, don't they?
Well, and their squad,
they need goals, don't they?
I just think it's the old thing, and I think Roy Keane said something similar the other day. Mm. And something that I always revert back to, what Alex Ferguson said, is like, you know, they're never expecting in their wildest dreams to win the Premier League. Some of the younger players would have expected to hopefully have won a trophy at some club at some point in their career, but none of them expected to win it with Leicester that season.
No.
And so it's natural they're going to be resting on their laurels, even if they don't mean to. Mm. It's going to happen. I don't necessarily think it can explain exactly how poor they've been at the start of this season, but I actually think maybe as the season wears on, it loses its glitter and all that sort of stuff, and they're not doing this farewell tour type attitude, they'll pick up points. I don't think they're going to get relegated.
No.
I'm just saying it would be an absolute disaster for Ranieri's legacy if they were to do so.
Great for my Premier League prediction at the start of the season.
Oh, don't give it away,
Donaldson.
What?
Don't give it away.
No, I think I said on the podcast.
Oh, okay, right.
They'll be bottom half of the table.
Okay.
Which is looking, positive in many ways.
You do realise I don't decide that in December?
No. Well, they've gone the right way about it, aren't they?
That's true. We're going to talk more after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the preview show, everybody. Lovely to have you still here. Let's turn our attention ever so briefly to international football, because the president of FIFA, Gianni Infantino, has said FIFA are looking into new formats and possible expansions to the World Cup from 2026. Now, this affects us all. That's why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
And when FIFA have got new ideas floating around and they're talking about new formats, it's a worry for us all as well. There are five proposed formats which consist of 248 team options, 240 team options, or sticking with what we have.
Well, can we think about that? That's five different options. Why is this public?
Well, it's not really. It's sort of four different options.
Four and one pretending to be an option.
Yeah, which is
a new option.
I read that one of the 48 team models suggested has been given unanimous approval from all the international federations.
That's 16 groups of three teams each.
Yeah, one of them. I'm not sure.
That is one of the 48.
Yeah, I think it might be that one.
Mm-hmm.
And to which you think, well, obviously, who's going to not? What possible motivation has any international federation got to not want to do that?
Yeah.
If you'd never qualified.
No, but some of the big teams wouldn't. Germany wouldn't want to do that, for example.
Well, no, because they've made it clear that it's never going to extend more than 32 days in length. So it doesn't actually make any difference to them.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't make. Essentially, if you are a big team, a big federation, as far as I can understand it, and of course details will come out in due course, but if you're a big nation, it doesn't affect you. You play two group games instead of three, so actually that's made up earlier in the tournament, so you don't necessarily play any more games. And secondly, if you're one of the federations that doesn't ever qualify,
yeah,
or only sometimes qualifies, of course you're going to vote
for it.
So essentially it's always going to be waved through. It's essentially a waste of time.
It does feel inevitable, doesn't it? It feels like this is on the table, so sooner or later it will happen for those exact reasons. It benefits a lot of people, so therefore it's
And commercially it's hugely beneficial, because
yeah,
there's more stuff happening.
Of course. It's more exposure in more countries, blah, blah, blah. But I think the biggest number of games from any of those proposals would be something like 104. How on earth could the quality ever be up to, you know, the classic World Cups we've had with that many games?
Yeah,
like it's insane.
Well, I think possibly because it's hard to know without the full details. But if it was the three team groups, they would be the stakes would be already be higher. You know, there'd be higher stakes. I agree. I think I think so. I heard someone a while back. It might have even been Jonathan Wilson saying that he thinks that the the World Cup shouldn't be even 32 teams. It should just be the cream of the crop. I do understand that, but at the same time, you do really want to encourage teams to give them a chance. Look what happened to the Euros this summer.
Yep.
The part of the reason that was, in my opinion, so good is because teams were given such confidence because they knew they had a decent chance of qualifying.
Mm. But the qualifying was better. Was the actual tournament better?
But it was nice to see teams who don't normally have anything to play for getting a chance. And actually, in cases like Wales and...
Well, like Iceland, that came back to bite us on the...
Yeah, it did, but I'm thinking of the big picture.
Yeah, of course.
England are going to find a way to be terrible, whatever. don't blame Iceland for that.
Yeah, but I'm scared of Kosovo suddenly.
Well, that's what I mean. I prefer 32 because England, let's be honest, they regularly qualify. But if there's only three teams in a group, that means we only get two games. I want the third.
I hate Iceland.
Indeed. And also, if it's more knockout football, then there's more chance of a penalty shootout.
Yeah, true.
Also,
imagine if England were the only federation not... No, we're not, no, not doing it.
Not doing it. The other way to look at it, if you're being very, very positive, is that, you know, this won't happen for a long, long time. And if you look at places like China, I guess places like Australia as well, places where football is growing, the USA as well, where just the national teams are getting stronger through the sport being more developed, it might be that, you know, there are four or five big hitters in the future that we don't consider big hitters now.
True.
I'm going to have to say
and
this
Russia
before.
And Russia are taking back a lot of their old property,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Go,
that's fine.
There'll be fewer countries anyway.
That's the spirit.
China and the US will be fighting, so they can't be involved. Tarmac, Michael Avis, brilliant.
Just let him play it out. I'm not gonna
let me tie myself out, Marcus.
I thought you were going to say, because it's not going to happen for such a long time, to 2026.
Don't worry about it.
And given the lifestyle that all of us in this room lead, we'll probably all be blind due to complications from diabetes anyway. Yeah. And we're going to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Matter.
I've got two things to say, Jim. The US are already stronger than England, probably. So I'll just nip in there to save you time.
It's nice to get, but still going to give them a pat on the head every so often.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'd like should be doing that to us.
I'd like to know their place above us.
They aren't necessarily Russia's property.
And that leads me on to my second point. Is why do you have these political views on Russia, Peter? No, I'm only joking.
My problem is, if anyone's listening, you know people are listening.
No,
that's why
I
we're
don't.
Doing this.
I'm not allowed at the near the stats.
Are you recording this?
Anyway, there's a more important cup competition than the World Cup, and it's the Scottish Cup. We've got a second round result.
What's the odds on me in being interested in this?
It was Peter.
Come on, Bet365, do your best.
It was a huge upset.
A huge upset.
As amateur side, Bonnyrigg Rose beat Scottish Championship side, Dunbarton, 1-0 away from
away
home.
Away as well.
Fair
come
play.
On.
Fair play.
Right.
Come on, all right.
And come on.
I'm only best around.
You've got to give the Rosy Posy a bit of credit there.
Rosy Posies.
Donaldson, here's something that interests you as well. Sean Connery used to play for Bonnyrigg Rose.
Oh, did he?
Your favourite.
Yeah. So now you're interested, aren't you? Something you'll be interested in as well, Marcus, is those Hibs. Uh-huh. 33-1 with Bet365 to lift the Scottish Cup this season.
Okay.
So £10 returns £340, including your stake.
Well, they've got to get past the Rosy Posy first.
They have.
You know.
And let's not count our chickens.
But this is great, though. Apparently, Bonnyrigg Rose, a.k.a. the Rosy Posy, want to get the match played at Tynecastle, home of the Gorgie Boys.
Oh, I like that.
Against Hibs.
Right,
yeah, come on.
Could Sean Connery come out of retirement and play for them again, but in goal, because he's got a gold finger?
Yeah. With his big wife-slapping hands.
I was about to say.
Doesn't make any sense, does it?
Say some of the quotes from that interview as you're
probably
thought,
well,
yeah.
thought, let's just move on.
I'm just stitching myself up, saying that, aren't I? Back to the Premier League. Chelsea against West Brom. Now, the Blues obviously won 8 league games in a row. The scene is set for Pulis to put that run to ruin.
Hmm.
It is, isn't it?
Let's hope his footballing defence is better than his courtroom defence.
Is that all done and dusted now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very... an annoying amount of money, isn't it?
It's all done and dusted now, Tony. Get your chequebook out.
Chelsea are 6 wins in the league away from equaling Arsenal's record of 14 successive wins in 2002.
They are, and I was looking into that earlier.
Really?
And I think they've got a reasonable chance of getting.
Well, we've talked about their December fixtures.
I'll tell you why, because they've got very good fixtures coming up. The only tough one they've got coming up really in the near future is they play Spurs away.
Yeah,
that's a tough game.
January.
It's a tough game, and if they can win that game, they've got a really good chance of doing it. Not that it actually means anything in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, but to win, it's not unbeaten.
No, I know,
it's to win.
It sets you up obviously for a great title challenge, but in and of itself, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but Pulis is standing in the way.
He is. Yeah. Baseball cap in hand.
What, on head?
On head, pressing those grapes down. Yeah. Pressing those apples down and make the cider! Cider! as someone said.
It's true. On a more somber note, though, ex-Chelsea man Idiger Johnson is the latest high-profile name to offer his services for free to the Brazilian club Chapo Coenze, of course.
Yeah.
Which, we didn't talk about when it happened, but, dearie me. But
what the hell can you say, really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's a nice touch that Atletico Nacional, the Colombian side, stepped aside for the Copa Sud America final, if you like, and they said, you know, give the trophy to the Brazilian club. And they've been crowned winners of the tournament.
That was the right thing to do, I think, because you know, the Copa Sudamericana, which is the equivalent of the Europa League but in South America, it's only football, isn't it? It's only football. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Mm. Yeah, it's the right thing to do. It's a great gesture. And people like Johnson offering their services as well is a lovely thing to do, and it's great to see. Mm.
There was reports that Ronaldinho had done the same, which turned out not to be quite true. I think, was it Raquel May as well?
Raquel May.
There was a lot of Twitter nonsense around that. I don't think anyone covered themselves in glory.
I wouldn't waste your time waiting for Ronaldinho to pick up the phone, put it that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, blimey.
He's offered his services to every club.
He's probably got about five for
unless, unless you work at maybe a pizza place.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, talking about the people who may want to get back into football, Roy Hodgson said he fancies a return to management, former West Brom coach.
What do you think about that? Because I sort of think
I don't know when
you are a manager who takes the national team job of your home country at a certain age, it should be a. I mean, it's not for me to say. He does what he wants, obviously, but it seems nice that it seems to be like a nice bookend to your career, nice ending of your career. So I'm not sure. I think to myself, Roy, you seem like a very nice man. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy the retirement.
Well, once you've done national team, you just got to go. I'll do Africa, and then I'll do a Premier League Indian club,
isn't it? And then I'll do
China.
Yeah, but isn't it that you know, as happens with most England managers, it ends in failure. And it's probably a very, very horrible experience, and you wouldn't want that to be the last memory of the thing that has been your
depends
life.
It depends on how old they are. I mean, Hodgson is advanced in years. I mean, obviously, say...
Advanced in years, I hear. Would you be interested in being tarmacked? Possibly.
So you're only up for it if they're into it as well?
Consent is important.
Yeah. Right, okay.
When you ask them, are you at the wheel?
Into account when it comes to sentencing, Pete.
Yeah. Are you at the wheel of the steamroller, looking down on them?
Apparently he's not doing the steamroller.
Yeah, I don't know why you're obsessed with the steamroller. It's only one part of the tarmacking process.
Yeah, Marcus, what are you talking about?
Yeah, why are you obsessed with steamrollers?
Sorry to bring it back, are you part of
big steamroller?
I just know you like machines.
So if not the steamroller, how are you going to do it?
What do you mean? You're still tarmacking someone. You have to flatten it down.
The steamroll's just for the flattening to even out the road.
I suppose so. Yes. But I mean, but how are you going to do it? I mean, I don't feel confident that I could tarmac a pensioner. I'd like to know how you'd do it.
Lie down and just scoop the tarmac upon it.
Yeah.
I don't mind hitting them with a flat bit of the shovel.
Don't you?
No.
Okay, it's very
but no steamrolling.
Very honourable of you.
That's cruel, unusual punishment. Unusual.
I can understand. There'll be documentaries made about you in the future.
I think so.
And your family will be ashamed.
Visionary. Visionary human tarmacker.
I think Hodgson, you're right, he doesn't want to leave his career on that note.
Yeah.
So, but it'd be interesting to see. I mean, could he come out of the Premier League? I mean, he'd probably be good enough for a much lower...
It's not beyond the realms of possibility to suggest that he could pop up at, I don't know, maybe West Ham or Swansea.
Not what I've done about West Ham.
Or
Swansea, maybe.
Leicester, maybe, if they part ways with Ranieri. I don't think it's out of the realms of possibility that he could get a Premier League job.
No, but, I mean, a Championship gig would be pretty nice as well, I think. There'd be less pressure on him there. Expectations would be... Well, I don't know.
It depends on the club, wouldn't it?
But I don't know. You think he'd be sort of left alone a little bit more there because he'll be heavily scrutinised if he comes back to the Premier League.
Don't people say he looks a bit like an owl? Maybe Sheffield Wednesday. That'd be quite nice.
Speaking of, but going back to the Premier League, Chelsea are favourites to win it at the moment. 6-5 at Bet365. £10 returns, £22 including stake. That market fluctuates quite a lot, though, as you'd expect. Mm. Chelsea certainly look to be in the box seat at the moment.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Manchester United are playing Spurs on the weekend. The Spurs boys won at Wembley. They'll be back in the Europa League.
I'll be interested to hear from Spurs fans, actually, throughout the weekend and next week, because am I right in saying that Spurs are scheduled to play all their home games at Wembley next season? So you wonder if that's going to have an adverse effect on how they get on. So it'll be interesting.
Nice that they ended their little stint with a win.
Well, good for the fans, because they were offering, I think they offered the three Wembley Champions League games as a package, like as a good price, and it would have been a shame if they didn't get any sort of joy at all whatsoever out of it.
Yeah, it's not a happy hunting ground for them, is it?
Well, Arsenal before in the Champions League were bad as well,
and England.
They? England have been sort of fairly bad there. Apart from one very specific sort of summer.
Yeah.
125 years. They've been shit.
I don't know if... I mean, it's everyone's been making the comparison between Spurs and Arsenal, but it's a long time in between them.
Could they merge? Could they merge, maybe?
Maybe it's what, Arsenal and Spurs?
Yeah.
God. What a thought.
The Lily Gunners.
They're playing at Wembley in the Europa League as well, aren't they?
So they will have
a bit more time to sort of get used to it if they're playing the home games next season.
I actually, in the office I work at, I sit with two Spurs fans, both of which...
Sorry to hear that.
One's a season to get older, and both of them have been to all the Champions League games at Wembley this season. And they say it's really hard to generate any sort of atmosphere. It feels like there's little pockets everywhere. Yeah. And the stadium is... And I know it is because I've been there a number of times. It's notorious for building up atmosphere and being bad at it. And you wonder whether they... I know it sounds a bit cliche and stuff, but the pitch is a bit bigger and they built up what seemed to be some amazing nights when they were in the Champions League under Harry Redknapp, and they did quite well. And they definitely missed that, for sure, from what I've seen.
Yeah. Well, actually, even when Arsenal moved from Highbury to the Emirates, the pitch was bigger. And it made a massive difference to the way the team played. And, you know, it's a huge variable to change, isn't it?
It's quite clear that modern stadium migrations of permanent or temporary nature
can be very difficult to get right.
Yeah, agree.
You know, because I know Chelsea were looking to move. I'd say don't do it.
No.
You're better off staying where you are in the present or the current climate.
Stay in your weird shed.
Alderweireld was back on the pitch for Spurs. That's a plus. For their
Manchester, one of, if not the best, very best defender in the Premier League, in this person's opinion. Easy. Pointing at myself.
What about Manchester United Timothy Fosu-Mensah?
Yeah, what about him?
He could go on to be one of the best defenders in the Premier League.
Are you purposely bringing in players this running or that you know I don't know much about?
And the fact that he was seen with a copy of Ibrahimovic's autobiography when boarding the plane to Ukraine.
Who's Ibrahimovic?
You might know him as Zlatan.
Now I know.
Big Zlat.
What's Ukraine, Pete? I reckon he probably gave them his Christmas presents.
Yeah.
To everyone in the Premier League.
Christmas presents or homework.
Yeah. Would you give, if you were going to give a book as a Christmas present, would you give that one?
No, you know what book I would go for?
Go on.
a little one called My... No. not that one. I'd probably go for the Football Ramble book.
You mostly distribute pamphlets these days, don't you?
We are living in a post-fact environment, Luke.
I've seen you in Westminster Square.
Yeah. Handing out that. Yeah, pushing dog dirt through people's letterboxes.
living in that tent.
Oh, dear. Can't have a conversation with him. He's just chanting.
No, I've been down at the ground court.
The studio for all the placards.
Yeah. I've been down at the court.
I'm not ashamed to say that in the office I also work at, and there's a Secret Santa.
Mate.
Bought a copy of the book, haven't I?
You did not.
I'm dishing it out.
Yeah, oh, you dirtbag. You actual dirtbag.
You're making you money and you're moaning about it.
Luke, did you sign it?
I haven't done that yet.
That would be brilliant. I haven't done that yet.
No, I might do it.
It's like a half joke type thing.
Well, he'll be laughing when he starts reading the pages because of the hilarity.
It's actually a she, so there's your sexist.
Oh, right.
That's why you wrote the forward, you dirty boy.
Let's get us off to a good start.
Platform
gentlemen.
Before we move on from Manchester United and Tottenham Hotspur, according to the Mirror, Manchester United have played 23 matches in total this season. This is before their Europa League match this week. Michael Carrick in the side, 80% win ratio. Without Michael Carrick, 31% win ratio.
And that's even more drastic than the one with Cazorla at Arsenal.
Mm.
It's very, very not quite similar, but Cazorla's record, Arsenal's record with Cazorla in the team is far superior to them without.
They need.
I think Carrick has spent essentially his entire career being, apart from the first maybe 3 or 4 years, has spent his entire career completely criminally underrated.
Mm.
He's the sort of player that English football fans or English football media broadly just do not respect, do not rate and do not understand.
Oddly, my mirror
criminally overrates me.
Yeah?
Whoa, you're looking fine, isn't it, Peter?
I would like to think that your mirror shows you exactly as you are. And right. That makes you more uncomfortable than anything.
Yeah. The authorities certainly criminally rate you, though, don't they? But I think the two former West Ham players, Scott Parker and Michael Carrick, them at the base of England's midfield, it probably should have been for years, you know, or certainly at least a tournament.
You'd like to see Scott Parker in there now still, wouldn't you?
Oh, come on.
He had a little bit of an Indian summer, didn't he, where he was like first name on the team sheet for about 3 months for England, wasn't he?
Stick Milner in there as well.
Get them all in.
Worth noting, at one point, Frank Lampard was played as a holding midfielder.
Yeah.
But he did go back in his career.
Listen, no, listen,
that wasn't
Jim,
then, was it?
Jim, listen, mate, I've said it before, I'll say it now. One goes, one sits.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's, they've got, who is it? Lampard, Gerrard, and one other. Oh, I forget who it is now, but it's a part of the club.
Skulls on the left.
Maybe. Yeah. And because we talked about all that business before, but they are being lined up for mentoring roles in the England team.
Good.
Yeah.
Exactly what you need.
Yeah.
Exactly what you need. Mm. No, listen, that is exactly what we need.
This is how you get to a quarterfinal.
Yeah.
That is what you need. We need to get back to the quarterfinals.
For the avoidance of doubt, it isn't what we need. And my favourite fact of the week, or the favourite piece of news I saw this week, was Massimo Cellino.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Banned for 18 months and fined $250,000 today.
Wow.
He's running Mourinho close for breaking FA agent regulations. He can't be a director or a shadow director of any club at that time, so I don't know what's going to happen at Leeds. Mm. It's sad to see on one level because they're doing well, mm-hmm. and we don't want that to scupper their on-pitch performance. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it might actually work in their favour because it means, technically, you can't really ring Gary Monk every 5 minutes and muck things about.
Come on,
yeah.
now.
That might be a bit ambitious.
Do you really think he's not going to have anything to do with that football club for the next 18
months? I've been instructed not to comment.
It'll be like delivering cakes with like messages on the top of it. Or inside it.
With a fake moustache.
Oh, what's our bet of the week, Luke?
Our bet of the week, we're going back to Old Trafford. We're going to go for Harry Kane to score any time United versus Spurs in a 1-1 draw, which is currently 16-1 with Bet365. £50 returns us a whopping £850, including our stake, with all proceeds, of course, going to prostatecancer.co.uk. For this bet, you need to be over the age of 18, as you do with all bets. And please gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible gambling, do head over to gambleaware.co.uk.
Mm.
So do you want these Twitter polls? Or you do emails
yeah.
first, Pete?
Oh, you do your Twitter polls.
So a couple of, a bit of a social media update. We've already talked about Marcus's dog, Winston. What's the it's the Speller family dog, really.
Yeah, it is. He's not
Winston
yeah.
Speller.
He's his own man, dog.
A photo of him reading the Ramble book emerged, which yeah. was nice to see.
Surfaced.
Also, we ran two polls of huge importance, as I mentioned earlier on the show. First was, is Die Hard a Christmas film? Now, the reason that came about, a few people were saying it wasn't. A few people say no, it's just a film set at Christmas. But then Empire magazine, apparently back in the day, named it their best ever Christmas film.
Really?
Oh, right.
So I thought we'll do a poll. It's an absolute landslide. 73% of Football Ramble fans said that, yes, it was a football film. It's not a football film, a Christmas film. 27% said it isn't. And the second
I said that the whole debate was very Top Gear.
Did you?
I didn't get involved.
That's the second time you mentioned Top Gear tonight. So if anyone's Top Gear, pal, it's you.
Doesn't right. exist anymore.
And
oh, does, wait, it does.
And you're tarmacking.
No,
that's what
Top Gear is. You're very Top Gear because you're tarmacking everywhere and they'll just drive over it.
Exactly.
Luke's wearing jacket and jeans.
Again. Yeah. And the second poll was of much more importance and it was in fact much closer. It was the big one.
Yeah.
It was, is Jeff Goldblum A-list or B-list?
Oh, right.
Now, Jim's looking very smug and rightly so. 47% said A-list.
Oh, it's Brexit all over.
Brexit.
The reason I was annoyed about that is because it was 48 for a bit and I was going to do a whole lot of Brexit stuff now. I can't now.
You can.
53% said B-list.
Mm.
But so, you know, and the one thing that's worth pointing out is when you look at all these polls of political polls, mm-hmm. Canvassing opinion of what's going to happen in elections and stuff, mm-hmm. they broadly tend to be, from what I can make out, between 1,000 and 2,000 people.
Yeah. Mm.
The diehard one here... 4,000 votes.
Good.
Wow.
So it's very accurate.
Yep.
But it would be accepted in the political poll sphere. Mm-hmm. And the Jeff Goldblum one, people were getting bored by then, 1,700 votes. So still a significant amount of people. Mm. So it's quite a big sample size.
I think we need a re-vote.
Okay.
Or, I mean, it's only advisory, isn't it? I mean, it's up to the four of us.
Yeah, yeah.
The four of us need to
go through the court system.
Yeah.
I think.
We're the electoral colleges.
Yeah. It is very close, though. Is that making B plus list?
Mm. Yeah, maybe.
Perfect.
Like, he's A list in the B list.
Any of us expected this to still be something we'd be talking about?
He's
the exact sweet spot of this debate.
Jim's always said that.
Just you wait till I find the password.
Well, I actually.
Evis, yeah or nay?
Are you allowed a computer again yet? But we're going to do Guardiola's shoes this weekend anyway, so we'll settle on that
okay.
as well. But Pete, you're welcome to do your emails now, mate. Sorry to
cut okay,
you.
Then.
It is worth changing the password.
Yeah, I will do. Yeah.
Go on, Pete.
I think this is buying somebody called Sanchez, because it says, thanks for a great show. Sanchez! Okay. It might just be like...
I mean, that's really having a song.
Yeah, no, Sanchez.
Do you think it's more likely there couldn't be a man called Sanchez than he's made the mistake?
I don't know. I've never been to South America. I don't know. You guys made my day mentioning Township Rollers, my hometown club and most successful team in Botswana. He's from Botswana, so he may be.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
My old man was even chairman in the 90s. Ooh. The strange name they were named by Gaborone was a new settlement, hench township, and Rollers refers to lawn rollers that you use to flatten the grass.
Okay. Or a pensioner.
With covered in tar.
So what's the explanation for miscellaneous then?
Other team names in Botswana, usually from the smaller towns, are Moshupa Lovers.
Nice.
Which I think is nice. Mosquito. Obviously very popular, buzzing around everywhere.
Yeah.
Naughty Boys.
Naughty Boys.
Naughty Boys. Yeah. Manager Danny Dyer.
I want to move.
Black Peril, which kind of sounds like you, like a Scotsman trying to describe your saviour.
Yeah, or a pirate. Like a pirate ship.
Killer Giants.
That's nice.
Yeah. Everyone on the team's called David.
Green Lovers.
Green Lovers.
Isn't that nice?
Wow.
Space Moon Landers.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
That's from back in the day. Not sure if they even still play.
You're talking.
Yeah. The thing is, with this type of email, it's very, very difficult to know how many of them are real.
Well, he just said that Black Peril was from back in the day, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. Nice. Let's assume they're all real, because it's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that your only email, mate?
No, we got an email from Seabrook. We got an email from Seabrook Crisp, but I've seen you've already replied to that.
Yes, Logie. I have. I'll tell you after.
they wanted to send us some crisps. Luke popped it in the email thing, just replied.
What address
did you give him?
I've got a Googler that set up for crisps.
To be fair, they are one of my favourites.
Calm down, you're not missing out
on anything.
Stop
stealing crisps.
Can I just say, and I won't name the company, do you remember that a certain beer company emailed us some bump for them? We were on their spam list and all that kind of crap. And Luke just replied, with Pete's home address, "Hi, such and such, please can you send as much beer as possible to this address?"
we were recording at Pete's house at that point. So I thought, it'd be lovely we turn up and there's like 48 bottles.
Well, we had a massive box of Marks and Spencer's crisps.
Yeah.
Just loads of maize and corn snacks.
Yeah, we've got a lot of ulcers. anyway, I've not stolen all the crisps.
Yeah.
I've just replied to the guy.
I've not stolen the crisps.
Yeah. Send as many crisps packets as humanly possible.
But that was the default response at one point, because we get so much spam.
Yeah.
And I would just whatever it may be, football boots, or send as much as you can, and I never used to send anything.
This is some weird spam.
Yeah. Amnesty International sent us some political prisoners. It's really confusing. It's just weird. Just strange. Jake Ralph from Bexhill says, "Ramble Force Ho." That's an old one.
Hello.
Just a heads up for those who haven't watched it. The BBC ran an interesting documentary called Forever Pure regarding racism at Israel's most supported club, Beitar Jerusalem. Thanks for listening, Jake! Brilliant.
He spoke about that on the Monday show.
Andy Butcher says, "Forgot to mail in last week, too hungover. Was in a pub..." Did you get sense of booze? "I was in a pub in the West End with a few mates on Friday. As things inevitably do, it got round to football, and as a Reading fan, I was itching for the chance of the lane to Pardew." It's pretty much every supporter's want, isn't it? "I unleashed with both barrels, slating not just Pardew and his ridiculous levels of arrogance, but also questioning Steve Parrish. Surely he could see through Pardew's bullshit and should sack the prick. What was wrong with the bloke?" Strong work.
Pards and Parrish on the town.
Mm. My mate replies, "Why didn't you ask him? He's there." And here, lo and behold, Steve Parrish in his shiny brown shoes are stood next to us in the boozer.
Did they speak to him?
I like to think that he heard our conversation and will act accordingly.
I spoiled that. I'd like to think he heard our conversation. Yeah. Go on, talk to the man.
Yeah. As it happens, I'm pretty sure he did, as we were being typically loud and obnoxious, and he gave us an annoying look as we walked off, one that said, "What the flip do you know, but you do have a point." Okay. Here's to claiming some credit for the cretin's eventual demise.
Worth pointing out, there are two sides to every story.
I love that. He had a look in his eyes. He seemed to agree with everything we said. Yeah. His eyes seemed to say. Yeah. It's like one of those, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, no.
Tarmac me, the man seemed to say, with his eyes.
What's his name, Jake?
Andy.
Andy, I don't know where I got Jake from.
No, Jake was the previous
Jake from?
He was the previous email.
Needless to say, Andy, you had the last laugh.
Right. There we are. Okay, then. Any more for any more?
No.
That's it. We're out.
Nothing.
Let's get out of here.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Well, that was a really quick exit. I got to press the button. Got to find the button.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. Pete's found the button.
Yay.
Press it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.